today's news.
Hello, welcome to Old News, a programme and podcast where we look at some news which has been in the news recently through the papers of yesteryear. There's always something that has to be said. This week, footbridges. Yeah, just of late I've noticed a couple of stories have been in the news about footbridges. The one by the museum, being closed I think for maintenance, and of course the removal of the famous footbridge at the top of Bray Hill for the winter. A quick look around through the wonderful Eye Museum papers, and yes, footbridges of all sorts have been in the news for 100 years and more. More common than you might think. The Mona's Herald, January the 1st, New Year's Day, 1902. We are informed, we are told, there is a movement on foot to extend the toy railway on Douglas Head to the restaurant on the approach road. Did you know there was a toy railway there? Closing the present road over the government two-gun battery platform and substituting an elevated narrow footbridge. The present railway cannot take rank as a thing of beauty. But what will be said of the projected excavating of the beautiful battery green sward which has been preserved to residents and visitors so long from the hand of vandalism? It is stated that if this latest project be carried out, it will be entirely close to the main and most important path to the upper head, as it will cut through the centre of the battery plateau several yards, and visitors to the head will be compelled to cross the railway line by climbing a footbridge. We would ask the Town Council to give this matter their serious attention and see to it that nothing is done at this favourite visitors' resort that would in any way make it less attractive to the hundreds of thousands of visitors who use it in the season. 1902. Hundreds of thousands of visitors. Wouldn't mind those back again now, would we? Saturday, May the 13th, in the Isle of Man Examiner, Town Council declines footbridge for TT race. The Finance Committee of the Douglas Town Council have disagreed with a suggestion from the Chief Constable that at the time of the TT races, a footbridge should be erected in the vicinity of Bray Hill, where indeed it is these days. They suggested that instead of erecting the bridge, passes should be issued, enabling the holders to cross the roadway on Bray Hill at certain points to be agreed on. Not during the races, we hope. The Chief Constable urged the committee to reconsider their decision, but they declined. In 1956, they were up in arms over the bridge in Colby. This was in the Isle of Man Times, Friday, July the 13th of 1956. The quiet of Colby has been disturbed, and the trouble has arisen over the erection of a concrete footbridge across the stream on the northern side of the Old World Colby Bridge. The villagers have raised objection on the grounds that the footbridge is not in keeping with the rural surroundings. They are of the opinion that the modern concrete structure has spoiled the effect of the old bridge, and that the safety iron railings are so high that the contrast detracts from the old world scene. The original bridge was built around 1717 and is called the Cubbon Bridge because it is believed, when it was built, a Cubbon family lived on both sides. Health and safety back in 1956. The Isle of Man Times, Friday, September the 5th, 1958. Another footbridge, this time over Peel Harbour. Schemed to go before the Governor soon. The hope that with the cooperation of the Harbour Board and the Government Property Trustees, they would soon be in position to put a scheme before the Governor for the erection of a footbridge over Peel Harbour, was expressed by Mr. G. Gale, Chairman, at a meeting of Commissioners on Wednesday night. Mr. Gale was reporting on a meeting which a deputation from the Commissioners had with the Government Property Trustees. We go to 1958 in the Isle of Man Times. Onken's footbridge for race periods. Another footbridge. Very little hope, it's quoted by Mr. J.C. Niverson. There is very little hope that Onken will get a footbridge over the main road for use during the clips practices, said Mr. J.C. Niverson at the monthly meeting of Onken Commissioners on Tuesday. Mr. Niverson said the Highway Board were in contact with certain bridge erectors and also advertisers, and the matter had not been concluded. But there was not a lot of hope. The erection of such a bridge would prove very costly, and any advertising on it would not counteract the cost. Now, in 1959, in the Isle of Man Times, Friday, July the 10th, we hear of a serious accident in Castletown. Cycle brakes led to accident. A 13-year-old boy out on his first night with his employer's delivery pedal cycle found he could not stop his mount when it was heading towards the Castletown footbridge on the Quay, a Castletown magistrate's court was told yesterday, and as a result, he was unable to prevent a collision with the wall. Fortunately, he was not injured, but yesterday his employer, Wilfred James Taggart, 62, of Malou Street in Castletown, was fined £1, with 4 shilling costs for causing an employee to ride a bicycle which had inefficient brakes. We should get those stories in the court reports of day, really, shouldn't we? 1960 in the Isle of Man Times, Friday, July the 8th, a footbridge plan is dropped, this time Laxey. Laxey commissioners are not going to pursue any further the idea of erecting a footbridge over the top of the harbour. At their monthly meeting on Wednesday, the board heard the reply from the Isle of Man Harbour Board to a letter from the commissioners asking for a quotation regarding erection of a bridge. The Harbour Board regretted they were not in a position to submit a quotation. Mr. H. Condra said that the board might do the work but would not submit a quotation for fear of being tied down to a contract. And finally, I thought this might be useful if you are suffering and bearing in mind how difficult it is to get to see a GP or consultant these days. The wonders of Zambuk. I'm going back here to the Isle of Man Examiner, Saturday, November the 6th, 1915. Under an article entitled Carried Home for Dead. And back in those days, it seemed the Isle of Man papers carried stories from the UK as well, which is where this one is from. A boy's wounds wonderfully healed by Zambuk. I think this is what we'd now call advertorial. Whilst playing on the railway footbridge, said Mrs. Tack of 12 Fairley Terrace, Downs Road, Enfield, to a London reporter, my son Bertrand, then nearly 8 years old, fell down some 20 steps and was carried home for dead. Happily, he proved to be alive, but suffering badly from concussion of the brain. Subsequently, an abscess formed on the back of his head. This is after banging his head on a footbridge, of course. Despite treatment by 2 doctors, the abscesses grew till it was nearly as large as another head. It was feared that the skull was diseased, so he had to have an operation. This released a great quantity of corruption, yet the place would not heal for any length of time, but kept on discharging. Oh, sounds rather unpleasant. In despair, we stopped the doctor's treatment and tried homely remedies, she says. Seeing Bertram's miserable plight, a nurse advised me to try Zambuk. I did so, getting a box from the chemist. The first application of Zambuk brought away a vast amount of evil matter, and the next 2 or 3 dressings cleansed the place thoroughly. Marvellous as it may seem, simply 1 box of Zambuk completely cured that boy's head. The wound healed, and where the large bald place used to be, he is now covered with hair, just as before the accident. The wonders of Zambuk. Try it out from your local chemist for anything from amputated limbs to a sore head, it seems. I don't suppose advertising's changed that much, really, has it? Whatever we look at, Zambuk, footbridges, I can guarantee it might be news today, but it's all old news. Cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.